Is there a place in time where logic breaks down and wonderment begins? Makeshift Stories presents a monthly journey into the improbable.
Today's story, 176, The Gig, read by Mitchell Two. Somewhere and sometime, the great opportunity you are being encouraged to take may have hidden consequences. That's it? I thought there'd be more to it. Lee Onee stared down at the worn, gray industrial carpet through a face hole in the portable massage table while the technician from Air Mesh Systems worked on his back. It only takes a minute once we're set up. The biocircuitry is not that large, and the procedure is similar to any subdermal implant. The hub is so thin, there is no raised area, and once the incision heals, you won't be able to see where it is at all. The area might be tender for a day, but there, we're finished. And power? How do I keep it charged? Oh, it uses the natural current in your nerves. Nothing else is needed. It's only a few extra calories a day. No one even notices. At least, we've never had a complaint. You can get up now and put your shirt back on. The technician, a middle-aged nurse who looked as if the world had ground her down to the point that injecting biochips as piecework was all she could handle, began to pack up her equipment. They had met at Lee's career manager's office, located in an old, weathered, brutalist government building from the previous century on a no longer important street. His career manager had insisted Lee get the implant before he left her office, and she had made it clear he didn't have a choice. The contract is on the table. You have to sign it before I can give you the activation code. The technician noted reflexively, like a greeter on the thousandth person through the door of a store. You've downloaded the app to your phone, right?
Yeah. I did it before you got here.
Lee struggled to get his shirt on, favoring his still frozen shoulder, then stretched and stiffly walked over to the only other piece of furniture in the small room where the nurse's tablet lay. He looked at the contract on the device, deciding whether he should read the entire agreement as a way to protest the situation. But such a futile act would only delay the inevitable. So, deciding it was pointless, given the mesh hub was already spreading its gossamer tendrils out under the skin of his back, he just scanned the first few lines of the incomprehensible agreement.
Why the back? Why not a leg or an arm?
We tried both at first. Too many nerve endings, and the company's afraid people could remove them on their own.
Did that ever happen?
The technician ignored the question and continued to pack up. There are fewer nerve endings in your back, so it's easier to insert, and you're less likely to feel it under your skin. Lee picked up the tablet, hesitated, then pressed his thumb to the screen and handed the device to the technician.
There, it's signed.
Good. The validation code will have been automatically sent to your phone. Once the mesh hub is ready, it'll connect and download the code.
And how do you know
when and where to go, Mr. Onee? Through the app. You'll get instructions through the app. Good day.
As the technician opened the door to leave, she stopped and turned to Lee.
Oh, I almost forgot. Welcome to Air Mesh, Mr. Onee.
The woman gave him a smile, which didn't reach her eyes, then turned and walked out, closing the door. Lee finished buttoning his shirt, then checked the time on his phone. He hadn't planned on being so long. Not that he had anywhere in particular to go. He just hadn't expected today to be another mandatory check-in with Vivian, his assigned career manager. Everyone on the subsidy had one, and Vivian insisted he meet with her again before he could leave the building. The walk back to her office took him through a large workspace occupied by empty cubicles with the names of no longer existing departments still visible. All had either been replaced by automated systems or simply shut down as public budgets shrank. He briefly wondered where everyone was now. Were they doing gigs or on the subsidy themselves? He had never been ambitious, and although the subsidy didn't quite provide enough to live on, most months he somehow made out. As he was thinking about this, a self-guided cleaner beeped at him to get out of the way. Lee smiled and stepped into the machine's path, blocking its way. Like many people, he enjoyed messing with them, feigning a decision on which way to dodge, matching the dumb thing's counter moves until its tiny AI simply gave up and shut down. A door a few steps away in the central core of supervisor offices sprung open. Vivian Lam, a small but imposing 40-something, dressed in a no-nonsense business suit, stood in the opening, looking impatient.
"That's something only kids do, Mr. Oni. You're almost 30, unless there's been a mistake in your file. Come in. I don't have much time before the next appointment, and I still need to give you the orientation."
By the time Lee disengaged from his game with the cleaner and entered the office, Vivian was already back behind her desk, reviewing files on two tablets. She nodded and motioned for Lee to sit in a chair, which somehow managed to force all but the tallest clients to look up at her.
"Please sit, Mr. Oni. I am so happy you have agreed to become part of this new initiative."
"Do I really have a choice?" Vivian ignored the question and launched into a well-rehearsed and carefully scripted explanation.
"As you know, with dropping tax revenues and growing deficits, we've been forced to cut back on the program, which means getting more capable people, such as yourself, back to work. And in the current environment, there are fewer and fewer opportunities. So when Air Mesh Systems approached us, we had no choice but to pursue their proposal. You'll be your own boss, Mr. Oni, a contractor in a brand new field. Your earnings are only limited by the number of hours you want to put in. As you've been told, the company will contact you with jobs. You simply show up when and where they ask you to. You'll get paid by the gigabyte of traffic handled, and credit will be transferred to your account in real time. It's that easy, and from what I can see in your files, your aptitude makes you perfect for this type of work. Do you have any questions?"
Lee shook his head.
"Okay then, Mr. Oni, we are excited for you. You are one of the lucky ones. We may simply have to stop the subsidy for others. We've given you a future. If you think of any questions, please contact me through the booking app. Now, if you please."
Vivian motioned to the door, then turned her attention back to one of the tablets, which had begun to chime. Lee wasn't quite sure how he felt as he made his way back through the maze of empty offices to the street. Somewhere between the Don and Don Park subway stations, Lee felt his phone vibrate against his leg and decided to ignore it. He had been zoning out, listening to his favorite playlist. He found dealing with officials draining, and he hadn't quite gotten his head around the idea that he had been kicked off the subsidy. The new gig had no guarantee of income, so what would happen if and when there wasn't enough work? It seemed all too tenuous to him, but Vivian had insisted it would be fine, that it would be better for him. He didn't trust her, especially since she had explained he was one of the first in a government industry pilot program. His phone buzzed again, this time cutting into his music with a distinctly abrasive synthetic voice.
"Please be in City Hall Plaza by 3 p.m. and remain in the zone designated in red on the Air Mesh app. Your GPS indicates you are only 4 stops from your designated target. Payment will start once you are in the area."
"Already?" Lee griped and pulled his phone out of his pocket. "She didn't tell me it would start so soon." He protested loud enough to make several people standing near him in the crowded car turn to see what his problem was. 2 young women beside him, in jeans and hoodies, with backpacks and scarves, edged away. Lee didn't care what they thought. He was angry. When Lee tapped his earbuds to start his music again, he noticed the train was unusually crowded for the time of day. Like the 2 women, most were casually attired, but it was the scarves and hoodies that made him wonder what was going on. Despite the unusually hot spring day, why would so many people be wearing things like that? Lee's phone vibrated impatiently again.
"Please acknowledge your acceptance of this job by pressing yes on the Air Mesh app."
Annoyed, Lee poked at the icons to open the app, hit yes, checked where he was supposed to hang out, then got an idea. No one had mentioned how he should spend his time while he was working, only that he needed to be in the red zone. He thumbed through his contacts, stopping at his friend Anita, then hit the call button.
Hey there, it's Lee. Got time for a coffee? It's on me this time. I've got this gig. I'll explain when we meet. I'm texting you the address. See you there at 3? Awesome.
The unusual crowd got off at the same station as Lee, then seemed to melt into the streets and disappear. On the walk to the coffee shop Lee had arranged to meet Anita at, the sun was hot enough to make him sweat. Located in the center of this target zone, just off the public square around City Hall, the place was generally not on his list of hangouts. It was too upscale and expensive for someone on the subsidy, but it was the only place he could afford in the area. A block away, his phone buzzed, acknowledging he had entered the zone. Lee thought for a moment he could feel the skin on his back tingle, but the technician had insisted there would be no sensation when the hub was active. Out of curiosity, he stopped to check his account on the mobile app and noticed a small deposit had already been made. He laughed and smiled. This might be okay. The cafe was an upscale automart across a busy street from the City Hall Plaza, which was currently empty, except for a few mid-afternoon shoppers meandering through to reach the far side. Lee shivered as he pushed through the door into the metallic cool aircon and suddenly wished he had worn a hoodie like the crowd on the subway. Anita spotted him and waved him over.
Are you sure you can afford this, Lee?
She questioned. Anita had been his friend since childhood and was always looking out for him.
Yeah, no problem. How's business? Better than last month?
Okay, I guess. At least, I made something on my last few designs. I switched job boards. Not as many companies posting work there, and the jobs are smaller. Which means that there are fewer people bidding on work, and I don't have to discount my rates as much. I'll make expenses this month.
She shrugged, then looked critically at Lee.
I was surprised when you called me. Didn't think you had the money to blow on overpriced coffee. Hey, I thought you said they were kicking you off subsidy.
They did.
And you're blowing the last of your cash here?
I don't get it.
Lee smiled and laughed.
Yeah, I got bumped off, but they forced me into a new pilot program. I'm gigging, like you. I'm working right now, or at least my back is.
Anita looked puzzled.
I didn't have a choice. Volunteer for this new pilot program or get nothing. I would have been on the street.
At first, I was really ticked about it. I didn't want to do it, but it's really not that bad. I'm working right now. I just have to show up where they tell me to and hang out.
You're not making any sense, Lee. There's got to be more to it than that. No one pays you to just show up and do nothing.
This gig does.
Anita started packing up to leave.
Is this just another one of your scams? To con someone into buying you lunch? Sorry, Lee, I can't afford to subsidize you this month. I'm just getting my head above water.
Okay, sorry, really, I'm working. Look at this.
Lee slid his phone across the table. Look at my account balance. See, it's slowly going up while we're just sitting here. Anita gave the screen a perfunctory glance, then stopped packing up and stared at Lee in disbelief.
I don't get it. You're being paid for what?
It's a new thing, Anita. Ad hoc mesh data nets. A new startup, Air Mesh Systems, is partnering with the Gov to take people off the subsidy by turning them into mobile mesh hubs. All you gotta do is show up where and when they need you, and the hub does the rest, and I get paid by the gig transferred.
Pretty sweet, huh? Okay, I guess that makes sense. You carry around a hub for them, but knowing you, you're going to forget it once and get fired. You're not the most attentive person, Lee.
Won't happen, man, Lee laughed. It's implanted in my back.
What?
New technology, Anita. It's a subdermal biochip. The thing runs off your body. I wasn't even sure about this when they told me what I'd be doing, but the upside is, I can do things like meet my friends, buy them a coffee, catch up while my back does all the work. I'm just the host.
Anita looked at the phone again and frowned.
That's a lot of data, Lee. Why would someone be transferring that much stuff around in the middle of the afternoon in a nearly empty plaza?
I don't know, maybe there's a conference or something nearby, but that's better for me. More money for my time. I'll have to stay here until they tell me I can go, but I don't care. I'm in no rush. What else do I have to do? Hey, I'm gonna use some of those credits to buy us coffee and snacks from the machines. What do you want? I owe you. Lee nodded at the trendy automat machines lined up along the inside wall.
That's generous, Lee, but maybe you should go easy on the budget. You don't know when you'll get another gig.
I've got a good feeling about this, Anita. I thought this was a bogus way to get me off subsidy. Then they hit me on the subway. Not even 30 minutes after I thumbed the final paperwork. It's only going to grow. Look at my balance. Don't worry, Anita. There's no way we'll eat through it in one meal. 2 hours of this and I'll make my month. This is awesome. Come on, let's eat. Reluctantly, Anita followed her friend over to the vending machines and made a modest selection while Lee celebrated too excessively for her comfort. But as long as she'd known Lee, he had never thought about the next day. After Lee paid, they took their loaded trays over to a table by the window and settled in. Anita tasted her drink experimentally.
It's quite good. It's great, in fact.
I picked this place, Lee admitted, because it's high-rated in the area. Unless you go to some fancy joint with human staff, that's still way out of my league. Hey, with a couple more gigs like this... He smiled, checking his phone again. Wow, traffic's increasing. Just walking over to the machines and back paid for half of this stuff already. But Anita wasn't paying attention. Instead, she was looking out the plate glass window.
Weird. There's no one here. Also, looks like most of the stores around the plaza are closed. And it's not a holiday.
Lee shrugged. Who knows? Who cares? They sat in silence for a few minutes, savoring a moment where neither had to worry about money for once.
Did you hear that?
Anita suddenly twisted her head towards the noise. In the distance, barely audible, there was a muffled sound, like thousands of feet mixed with chanting. Lee cupped his ears with his hands.
Yeah, I hear it, but I can't tell what it is through the glass. Let's go outside.
Curious, Anita joined him, and together they slid out through the automated door. The effect was like someone turning up the volume on a surround sound system. Noise was flooding into the square from every street. The chants changed from rhythmic patterns to shouted slogans as the wall of noise drew closer.
It's a protest, Lee,
Anita guessed, anxiously checking each street for the wall of humanity that would be following the sound.
That explains why everything is closed. They knew. But why would that company send you here?
Don't know. Lee's confidence was beginning to leave him. The first tsunami of protesters emerged from a side street, flowing out into the square like muddy, raging water, escaping the confines of riverbanks into the expanse of an ocean.
We should go, Lee. We can't afford to get caught up in this.
No, Lee shook his head. I have to stay until they tell me to leave. There's nothing on the app. I want to keep this gig. Let's just go back inside and wait. Anyway, I don't think we'd get through the crowds. They watched nervously from inside the automated cafe as the square filled up and overflowed with noisy anger. But the protesters were behaving, just yelling and chanting at the evidently abandoned city hall. Hand-painted signs with slogans such as "Stop the jobless economy," "Tax the machines," and "People are not a financial liability," floated by the cafe window. Most of the protesters ignored them. A few waved, encouraging them to join, and when they didn't, swore at them and banged on the plate glass. Lee and Anita decided to move to the back of the cafe, where no one outside could see them. But before they had time to get up, the casual swarming of the protesters suddenly changed to a purposeful wave, racing away from a point on the other side of the plaza, like fish avoiding an intruding predator. Screams began to emerge from the cacophony outside, and a new, low rumbling joined the mix. Then a discordant hiss began to drown out everything. An orange hurricane started assaulting the cafe windows, rattling them until both Lee and Anita, fearing they were going to break, dived under their table for protection.
Water cannon, Lee gasped. It's public order.
The water cannon swung past the cafe windows, leaving sickly orange puddles.
The dye was specifically formulated to stain human flesh. It simply evaporated off anything else. Lee began to climb out from under the table when the cafe door exploded into thousands of glass beads. 6 public order officers dressed in heavy riot gear stormed through, plastic shields in front and tasers drawn. The one in the lead consulted a handheld, then looked right at Lee.
"That's the one! Take him!"
The harshly lit space was exactly what Lee had imagined an interrogation room would be like. A stained table, 2 uncomfortable chairs on either side, and an ancient humming fluorescent ceiling light. Predictably, they had taken his phone away, so Lee didn't know whether a half an hour or half a day had passed since they had arrested him at the Automat Cafe. Thankfully, they hadn't been interested in Anita, but they had warned her not to intercede. She was screaming at the PO officers last time he had seen her. Lee hoped she had found her way home safely. The door to the room suddenly burst open, making Lee jump. He had been pacing around the space, trying to wear down his anxiety. Lee had lost track of the number of interviews he had been through, with a different person each time. All had started unannounced, like this one. They came at random times, which he guessed was an intentional tactic to keep their subjects on edge. This time, it was a trim, middle-aged man in an immaculate dark blue suit consulting a tablet, angled so Lee couldn't see the screen. The man took his time to finish whatever he had been reading, then closed the door and looked at Lee skeptically.
"Sit down, Mr. O'Nee."
He didn't bother to introduce himself and motioned to the chair behind the table, then waited for Lee to sit, but the man remained standing. He folded his arms over his chest and sighed.
"Well, it's been a long day for all of us, Mr. O'Nee, and it's going to continue until you tell us the truth. You claimed you were hired to go down to the square in front of City Hall and hang out there by a company called Air Mesh Systems. You also claim that you had no choice. You claim you were on the subsidy and your career manager, one Vivian Lamb, insisted you had to do this or be permanently barred from the program. You also claim this is a new public-private initiative with Air Mesh Systems to get people off subsidy. And you claim an air mesh technician implanted a biochip mesh hub under the skin of your back while you waited in the old social services building during an appointment this morning with your assigned career manager. Finally, you are insisting you have no idea who was using the mesh network you were hired to create.
I can't change the truth, and I refuse to lie. I've told everyone who's talked to me to check with the subsidy office.
And we have, Mr. O'Nee. I read their response on the way in. I'll show it to you if you want. But I assure you, you already know what they said. There is no Vivian Lamb. There is no public-private pilot program. There is no company called Air Mesh Systems. And the old social services building has been closed for over a decade.
Lee felt like the world he knew had just been pulled out from under him. That's impossible. I've been meeting Vivian, my manager, there for almost a year.
See, this is why we are still here. There's not one verifiable fact in your story. Think about it. Biomesh hubs are new tech and very expensive. Why would a company implant them in unemployed losers like you to make a few cents per gigabyte renting time on localized mesh networks? You see, if you're going to make something up, you gotta think of something more plausible. On the other hand, if you're a well-funded radical group like the Tellurians who needed a secure local comms net that can be surreptitiously configured when and where you need it, the expense makes sense. We've known for a while your organization had been using mesh nets, but we couldn't figure out where the hubs were until today, until we caught you. We know there would have to be about 8 people needed to cover the area. Look, all we're wanting from you is a name or 2. Your hub will have the encryption codes to the network. We're going to need to take it out, of course. So, a 10-minute operation, a few names, and we'll consider letting you go with an ankle monitor, and that will be it. What do you say?
But
I don't have any names. I don't know anything about the people behind the protest.
Look, we both know that's highly improbable. You must have something. A first name, a nickname. People talk. What did you call them? Give me something so we can call it a day.
I didn't call them anything because I was there with my friend on a gig, and that's it. I never met or talked to anyone. Like I've told you all 1,000 times, I didn't even know there was going to be a protest. So I can't tell you what I don't know, Lee pleaded, dropping his head into his hands, then rubbing the top of his aching head.
Get up, the man snarled, abruptly changing his demeanor. We're all tired of hearing lies. Let's go get that chip out. If you volunteer some information before we extract the data from the chip, then we'll say you were cooperating. If not, don't expect to be back on the street until you have gray hair, kid.
The man grabbed Lee by one arm and hauled him up, then pushed him through the doors into a narrow, dank hallway where 2 uniformed public order officers grabbed Lee and began to manhandle him away.
I was just working. They didn't give me a choice.
Lee felt compelled to yell one last time, but wasn't really expecting anyone to listen. He struggled away from one of his escorts and turned back to face his latest interrogator and was stunned by what he saw. Standing outside the room where he had been, Vivian Lam was consulting with the man in the blue suit, pointing to something on his tablet and smiling.
Miss Lam, look, it's me, Lee. Tell them about the pilot. Tell them I don't know anything,
Lee pleaded. The woman looked up, and Lee noticed she was wearing a lanyard with a public order badge number. She stared at him like a cat playing with its prey.
I'm sorry, do I know you?
I'm Lee.
But please just tell them what happened.
Vivian ignored him and looked back at the tablet.
You're sure you can extract the data from his hub? They'll have encrypted their traffic.
No problem, the blue-suited man nodded. This is a real break for us. Thanks.
Awesome. We're done here, officers.
The woman waved Lee and his escorts away, then approved something on the screen with her thumb, grinning with self-satisfaction.
Makeshift Stories is a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB Financial. To listen to other great APN podcasts, such as Otherwise, please head over to albertapodcastnetwork.com. This episode is brought to you by Park Power, a provider of electricity and natural gas in Alberta that offers low rates, awesome service, and profit sharing with local charities. In Alberta, you get to choose who to buy your energy from. If you choose Park Power, your money stays here. Plus, Park Power shares its profits with local, not-for-profits that are working to make a difference for their communities. Shopping local is very important to Park Power, and we love local here at the Alberta Podcast Network, so it's a great fit. Learn more at parkpower.ca. The Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB, is happy to be partnering with Seat Giant to offer you a deal on tickets to major sporting events, big concerts, popular theater throughout North America, and more. Whether you're at home or on vacation, check Seat Giant for tickets to the hottest theater, music, and sports events such as The Wailers or A Chorus Line. Visit seatgiant.ca to find tickets. Use the promo code APN at checkout to get 5% off your purchases. You'll save a bit, and the network gets a little cut of that purchase too. Makeshift Stories is released twice a month, usually around the 1st and the 15th. Today's story was written by Alan V. Hare and read by Mitchell Tu. Opening and closing music was composed and recorded by David Hume. You can find more about David at davidhume.me. We want your feedback, so please send us an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. You can help us out by telling your friends about us and getting them to head over to Apple Podcasts or their favorite podcast provider to subscribe. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial attribution, no derivative license, which means you are free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.